Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Jan Kovshiva. Did I butcher it or did I do it on Kovshiva, right?
Yes, actually, that was fairly close.
All right. Well, thank you. So, good morning. Or good. Actually, it's probably evening where you are, isn't it, Jan?
Yes, it is. It's about 7 o'clock in the evening.
And for our audience, Jan is in the Czech Republic, the beautiful country of the Czech Republic. So thank you for joining us at this late hour. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience? Oh, and I forgot to mention, Jan is a security specialist with the company called Aleph, or Aleph. What is the a proper pronunciation?
Aleph.
Aleph, yes.
So first of all, thank you for having me. As Mark mentioned, I'm a security specialist with Aleph. Basically, what I do falls into two main categories. I am an incident responder, so I help organizations which have been compromised by a cyber attack to recover from said cyber attack. And I also help them in a bit of a different capacity. I'm what's called a penetration tester. So me and my team, we usually test customer environments and try to assess whether they are protected enough to actually make any cyber attackers think twice of whether this is the right target to choose or not.
Very interesting. And what did you do before you joined Aleph?
I spent some time in academia. I spent 4 years at the university teaching and doing security-oriented research. Since back when I was studying for my master's, I fell in love with security. I mean, IT security. And back at that time, there was an opportunity for me to do some research on the subject at the university itself. So I stayed there a couple of years later.
Well, it's good that you enjoy IT security, because we need people like you, because there's a lot of other people out there that we need you to protect us from, right? So, and a pen tester, it's funny. One of the most common things I hear people say, do you know any pen testers? And I'm like, yeah, I think I can help you with that. And now I can refer you to people, because it's a very much in demand job. Would you agree?
As you say, we are definitely not... We definitely don't have to go looking for work. It usually comes to us at this point.
This is true. So interestingly, about a year and a half ago, March of 2020, the whole world pretty much went remote overnight. In your opinion, did we have the security in place? You know, did most companies have the security in place to handle basically a totally remote workforce?
I doubt that anyone in their right mind would say yes to this question. Yes, on one hand, COVID did just accelerate a trend that was here before. We all probably felt the push to remote working. But I would say that now 9 organizations out of 10 were not ready for that. Mm-hmm. Whether it would be because they didn't have the cloud services to actually enable their employees to connect from anywhere in the world to corporate or organizational systems, or whether it was because the organizations didn't have any VoIP solutions or any chat applications ready for their workforce working from home. So the first months, or the first 6 months, I would say, were probably hard for many organizations, not just because of what I previously mentioned, but because the infrastructure wasn't there either, which would support the remote workforce. Even the applications which we use now, as in Zoom, through which we are currently speaking, it wasn't security-wise at the level it is now. It was fairly vulnerable in the beginning, and there were unfortunate attacks on remote meetings. Actually, some organizations or some schools started to use these sorts of systems, and the impact the attacks on these systems had back then was felt even on the level of schools and other educational organizations.
Yeah, and it's weird. I think there were a lot of companies back in early March, you know, late 2019, early 2020, were thinking about all this stuff, but it was like, we'll get to that. We're okay. Was that your, was that the way you foresaw it, or and then all of a sudden it was like it was priority one?
I would say that it depended a lot on the organization. Mm-hmm. We at Aleph are a technical company, and we were lucky enough that many of us had a regular home office. So for mm-hmm. us, it wasn't much of a change. But for some of our customers, it came literally overnight, because mm-hmm. some of our customers are in the public sector. And there, if government decides that we're closing this and this office, yes, you will close down the office and you will work from home. Unfortunately, many employees didn't even have laptops. They were using desktops in their offices. So how can you work remotely if you don't even have a computer which is capable of being moved to your home? Yeah. So that was fairly unfortunate and problematic at the beginning.
I know companies that actually had their employees on schedule come into the office to get their desktop and take it home, right? I mean, this was actually happening. And then, but that was a year and a half ago. I mean, we're actually more than a year and a half into this now. And at first you said 9 of 10 weren't prepared. Where do you think we are now? I mean, obviously it's better.
It's better with the coming wave of COVID, which is forcing many organizations to move back to purely work from home model. I would say that things are significantly better than they were a year ago, but I still wouldn't say that 90% of organizations are ready for it. I would go as high as 60 to 70% of organizations being ready or reasonably ready when it comes to remote working. When I speak of course, security perspective, I can't speak to anything else, but from security perspective, I would say that 60 to 70% of organizations might be ready for it.
Yeah, no, and it's weird. I would hope it would be higher, but I have a feeling you're correct.
Unfortunately, as this evening's situation with one of the customers has proved to me, many organizations, although they did or they moved forward toward, for example, cloud-first models, they use systems that are in cloud, so they don't necessarily need their employees to connect over VPN to their branch offices and so on and so forth. They usually don't feel that securing the cloud is something they even have to do. They, by default, assume that the cloud is secure. So they don't use multi-factor authentication. They use weak passwords still. So one customer whom I had the misfortune to talk to, or I had the pleasure to talk to them, but under unfortunate circumstances, they were actually attacked by a ransomware group successfully, and all of their data was encrypted because they were lacking multi-factor authentication on their cloud-based email accounts.
Wow. That's amazing. But it's probably, I can see that in the smaller, you know, the SMB, but not the large companies. But nothing ever surprises me. There are still people that their password is password.
As you say, and unfortunately, although one wouldn't expect it, I wouldn't say it's predominantly the problem of small and medium-sized organizations.
It does surprise you. And I think a lot of that has to do with there's a lack of knowledge about what cybersecurity entails. Would you agree with that?
Certainly. I would say that we are the unfortunate generation, my generation and the older ones, because we didn't grow up with the internet being around. We didn't grow up with smart devices in our hands. Mm-hmm. The current generation, I hope, will have a different approach to IT security than we did, because for us, it's natural to look both sides before we cross the road. It wasn't natural, because we weren't born to it and raised to it, to set strong passwords on our accounts, mm-hmm. to use multi-factor authentication and so on and so forth. And these things, I feel, will have to become the norm, will have to become the run-of-the-mill part of everyone's life. And then we will move a bit forward when it comes to general security awareness in the public.
Yes, and it's funny, because I'm a 40-year veteran of this, not of IT security, but of, you know, software development and all that. And I know enough to know that I don't know enough about information security. I have to hire a professional, right? Because it is a whole different skill set than the average person coming out of college. Do you agree with that?
Certainly. I would even go a little bit further. I've been doing IT security for 10, 12 years, and I feel that I'm really good at my job, but even I need specialists for certain activities versus certain projects. So thinking that an ordinary person would be capable of fully protecting themselves, yes, it's not on the cards at the moment. Hopefully in the future, both technology and general security awareness will get better.
Yeah, and it's funny, I think, let's just say 5 years ago, pen tester was not really a common term. People, if you were to say, I'm a pen tester, people think, oh, you test ballpoint pens, right? I think more and more people are becoming aware of what that entails. And I think more and more people realize that it's something that they need, especially the large companies. If you're a large company, you certainly need pen testers. Would you agree with that?
Yes, certainly. I would say that although pen tests are not the most important part of the security puzzle, they are certainly an indispensable one, because it's pen test or a red team exercise, if we want to get technical, is something that can certainly help you find the weaknesses in your overall security posture, which you otherwise wouldn't be able to see, because you think, yeah, we are secure. Unfortunately, you've left out this small part of your perimeter from your patching, and suddenly, yeah, an attacker might successfully compromise you. Pen test might be able to find that before that.
Yes, and I think a lot of people think they are secure, and they're surprised at how insecure they are when they really start to pay attention to it. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, certainly. I think even if we think about our own home IT infrastructure, we might have some Wi-Fi enabled router connected to the internet. How many of us actually patch them regularly? I mean, I do, because I'm a bit OCD and I'm a security professional, so I have to, even if just because of my professional pride, but most people don't. Currently, which is fairly lucky, we see legislation being passed all over the world, which would ensure that vendors who sell these products, I mean, consumer electronics, whether it be smartphones, whether it be routers, would have to implement auto-patching mechanisms, which would obviously make sure that your router or other devices are up to date. They would have to actually mitigate any reported vulnerability and so on and so forth. But until this becomes a standard, we really need to push a bit more forward and give our work to securing our own environment. Otherwise, we will always remain insecure, unfortunately.
I would agree. And I'll just finish on a generic question. You know, now that we've been through this period, and I think we've done a good job in general securing things. But I think, what do you think now that we've been working remotely for a while, do you think that that trend will continue and there will be even more security demands, or do you think it'll start to go back to the way it used to be?
I think that some people will definitely return to offices, and we will see a bit more work from office or regular work return. But I would say that really what COVID did was just accelerate the trend which was here before, i.e. more and more people will start or will continue to work remotely, if just in some hybrid model. Because there's not really a reason for us all to go back to offices, since we already have anything we need at our fingertips. And when it comes to securing this sort of environment or these sorts of systems, we've made tremendous strides in the last year and a half. And I feel that we will continue to make further strides in the same way. So hopefully, whether it's now or 10 plus years from now, when people start working from home because they want to, not because a disease is forcing them, we will be able to secure these systems a bit better than we are now even.
And it's interesting, you said people want to work, you know, when people will hopefully will want to work from home. I think people did want to work from home to a certain degree, even before COVID. I think COVID proved that you could. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Unfortunately, I believe that most people who didn't get home office before and suddenly were thrust into 7 days a week of home office suddenly felt the lack of human contact and decided that, yeah, home office is fun, but I don't want to have it every single day. So hopefully we will find some sort of balance in the future.
Yeah, I think it's the what everyone calls the hybrid. I think what people don't like is that morning commute at 8 a.m. where everyone else is commuting. I think if you could spread that out, and I go in twice a week from 10 to 2, I think that's what, because I agree that people still want that that human interaction, face-to-face, you know, in person. Would you agree?
Sure. I think that what you just mentioned, the 2 days at the office, 3 days at home, would be an optimum for many people. So perhaps this is something to aim towards.
Yeah. And just out of curiosity, did you work from home before this, or did you have to actually go into an office?
I had about 2 to 3 days of home office every week. So, I would say I've hit that optimum before COVID hit.
Yeah. So you were already used to this. So to you, it was, you know, business as usual. And I'm knowing what you do, I'm sure your home office is secure and has been for some time.
I certainly hope so. But knowing what I know, I wouldn't bet too much money on it.
Yes. Well, yeah, there's always bad guys trying to stay one step ahead of you, correct?
Yes, precisely. And there are, unfortunately, vulnerabilities in our systems that we literally can't know about because no one has yet found them. Mm. The vendor doesn't know about them. I don't know about them. Therefore, I can hardly protect against their exploitation. I can do something, but not everything that would protect me from any sort of attack.
Yep, there are good, you know, good, honest developers now building stuff as we speak that will have vulnerabilities. And that's just the way it's going to be from now on. There's not much you can do about it, right?
Unfortunately, you are right. We have many technologies. We have static scanning of source code. We have dynamic testings. We have penetration tests. We have secure architecture frameworks. But unfortunately, still, even though we have all these processes, all these technologies, it can't ensure that only pure and unvulnerable code makes it into production. Mm-hmm. It's a fact of life that something will be vulnerable.
Yep. Yes. Well, Jan, it was great talking to you. And I tell you, I'm glad that there are people out there like you that really enjoy this aspect of it, because it is a thankless job. I think you know that. It's there's a lot of due diligence that you have to do, and no one really notices it what you do unless they get broken, their security gets broken, correct?
Yeah, as they say, security is invisible until it's not there, then it's right. Suddenly glaringly obvious. So yeah. Hopefully we won't notice security for the years to come. Anyway, Mark, thanks a lot for having me. It was a pleasure to speak with you as well.
Have a great night.